Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. God bless you and welcome to today's broadcast. It's the fourth day of January 2017, and we are in studio today to continue to talk about this mystery of stupidity. The mystery of stupidity. That was what you just heard, was the theme to the blockbuster movie back in 1976, The Omen. I was a young lad back in 1976. We were celebrating as a nation the bicentennial. If you can remember that far back, what were you doing on 4th of July 2000 and 1976? 4th of July, 1976. What were you doing? I know what I was doing. I could remember it like if it was yesterday. It was a big deal because it was the country's 200th anniversary. So that's when the movie came out. And think about it. Way back then, they were already announcing the arrival of the Antichrist back in 1976, they were already announcing. In fact, they were doing it before 1976. Remember the movie Rosemary's Baby with Mia Farrow? Boy, that was a spooky movie. That was a spooky, spooky movie. And in that movie, Satan was born, according to the movie by Mia Farrow. Satan was born on June the 6th, 1966. if you remember correctly, June the 6th, you know, that's the last scene in the movie when the baby was born, June the 6th, 1966. And Mia Farrow, her movie, predates Rosemary's Baby. That's the title of the movie. That movie predates The Omen. Predates The Omen. Saints, you can already see that way back then, the devil was getting Hollywood. The devil was getting Hollywood to start promoting the Antichrist. Way back then. And the devil has been kept in check. The Antichrist has been kept in check. Because St. Paul said that God would keep him in check until it would be his time. But trust me, if the devil could, he would have the Antichrist right now. But he can't. Because God is keeping the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet in check. But listen, they're soon to appear. And we know that because of the signs of the time. We see everything coming together. Haven't you noticed? Did you hear much about Jesus during this Christmas holiday? As each year goes by, you begin to hear less and less about Jesus. And I'm not talking about less and less about Jesus in the world. No, I'm talking about less and less about Jesus in the church. The church is talking less and less about Jesus during Christmas time. The church. Supposedly his church. Christ's church wasn't talking about Christ and his birth during Christmas. You see, and it first starts in the world. Satan begins to leaven the world. Take Christ out of Christmas. Don't say Merry Christmas anymore. Just say, and by the way, Christmas is pagan anyway. The term Christmas is pagan. Because Christmas simply means a mass for Christ. And back in the days of Constantine, the Romans had nine gods that they honored. They started to honor those gods in late December, and they would honor the gods into the beginning of January. They had nine gods. And so they gave Jesus one of the days. They gave Jesus one. There were nine gods. They took one out, and in his place they put Jesus. And they call it a mass for Christ. And you know that the word mass is not a Protestant word. It is a Catholic word. Boy, do we Protestants hate the word mass. We want nothing to do with the word mass. But they've taken even Christmas, even that they've taken out. Even Christmas they've taken out. And there is no more mention of Jesus. Not at the stores. They don't say Merry Christmas. And forget about the church. I mean, I was looking at many services on YouTube live stream. And now there's no mention of Jesus. Jesus is not important anymore. Jesus is no longer all sufficient. No longer. So folks, the world is ready to receive the Antichrist. The world is ready. The world has been primed. The world has been conditioned. There's still a few places that are resisting this change, but for the most part, the world is primed, and Antichrist will soon appear. Oh, he will in my lifetime. I mean, if I continue to live you know, if I'm not struck down by an ailment or a car or something, if I get to live out my natural life, if God permits that, if I'm blessed with that, then I'll get to see Antichrist. He's already here. His heart is already beating. He's somewhere tucked away, being protected. But he's itching to get on the world stage. He is itching to get his end time program in full swing. He is. And where is Christ's church in all this? Well, Christ's church is no longer Christ's church. And that's why many of us, like you and me, we're part of the underground church. We don't go to a regular church service. We would like to fellowship in a church. I would love to have brothers and sisters that I can fellowship with. Who doesn't enjoy Christian fellowship? I for one enjoy Christian fellowship. But I'm surrounded by nuts. Nuts who want to embrace the Roman Catholic Church, nuts who want to be one with the Roman Catholic Church. I'm surrounded by nuts. People who are calling for unity simply for unity's sake. Unity at the expense of doctrinal integrity. Let God sort it all up. Let God sort out all the doctrines when we get to heaven. No. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace. I didn't come to bring unity. I came to bring a sword. That's what my Lord and Savior said. That's what your Lord and Savior said. He did not come to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword. Jesus didn't come so that we can all gather around the campfire and cook marshmallows and sing Kumbaya. Jesus didn't come for that. In fact, Jesus on another occasion said, since the days of John the Baptist, when John first appeared, that's when the kingdom of God started to suffer violence. That's when John the Baptist came on the scene, because there was no preacher like John the Baptist. I mean, John the Baptist was no holds bar. John the Baptist was the kind of preacher that he swung and pulled no punches. So Jesus says, since the days of John the Baptist, since John the Baptist began his assault on the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God suffered violence. Yeah, John the Baptist was dishing it out, but so was the devil. Yeah, John the Baptist began to pummel the kingdom of darkness, but the devil began to swing back. So Jesus says, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. If you're going to be a pansy, if you're going to be a chump, if you're going to be a scaredy cat, if you're going to allow yourself to be bullied by those who promote political and religious correctness, then don't get in the ring. But if you're going to be like John the Baptist, Jesus said, the violent take it by force. Just like Martin Luther did when he nailed the 95 Theses on the doors of Wittenberg Castle Church. The violent take it by force. The violent. Are you violent? I'm violent. I'm violent for Jesus. And that's why when you sit down with people and you begin to share your biblical beliefs, you see how their faces transform themselves. You see how the smiles go to frowns. how they start getting angry. You start seeing smoke coming out of their ears when you tell them that you are not for same-sex marriage, that you are not for abortion, that you are not going to promote the transgender Kool-Aid, that you are not in acceptance of a one-world religion. When you tell them that all roads lead to Rome because Rome is a prostitute, but not all roads lead to heaven. Yes, all roads do lead to Rome because Rome is the harlot of Revelation 17 and 18. And the road to a prostitute's brothel is well paved. But not all roads lead to heaven. Jesus said only one road leads to heaven. He said, Jesus put it this way. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come unto the Father except by me. And we are dogmatic. We are rigid. We don't compromise that. So if you're in the Oprah Winfrey crowd where you believe that all roads lead to heaven and that the Muslim will make it and that the Buddhist will make it and, because they all love God in their own way. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus was very exclusive. He said, I am the way. You don't come by means of me, you're not getting in. You don't come by means of me exclusively, you don't get to the Father. That's why the Jews of his day wanted to kill Jesus. That's why they wanted to kill Jesus. That and for other reasons. So here we are, saints. We're in the last days. We are in the last days. Today is January the 4th, 2017. Like I said to you before, when I was a young man, I remember going to the theater with some other saints, and we watched The Omen. There was nothing out there. When I went to church and I was part of a youth group and they talked about the Antichrist, there were no movies about the Antichrist. There were no movies. But then they came out with one. It was called The Omen. And then we heard about one that was way before our time, maybe 6 or 7 years before The Omen. That was called Rosemary's Baby. Too young to go see that one in the theaters. So I had to go check it out. I had to wait for it to be on TV. I don't remember how I first saw Rosemary's Baby. Maybe I saw it on TV. Maybe I saw it when videos first came out. I don't remember how. I know I saw it, and I was intrigued. Particularly at the end of the movie, when they established the date of the birth of the Antichrist. June, which is the sixth month, June 6th, the sixth day of the month, 66. June 6th, 66. And those Satanists are into numerology. It's just like Rod Parsley. Rod Parsley is another Satanist. You don't think Rod Parsley is another? Of course he is. Rod Parsley, back in 2010, was running the 10-10-10 scam. That's right. October the 10th, 2010, Rod Parsley was telling the entire world, there's never going to come a day in which we're going to have 10-10-10. And you know what that, back then, you know what that brought to mind? It says, that reminds me of Rosemary's Baby. How the Satanists were promoting that Satan was born on the sixth month, on the sixth day, on the 66th year. And now I hear Rod Parsley talking about the special service when God's going to do something on October the 10th, 2010. Then he did it again the following year. He did 11, 11, 11. And then finally, he did it on December the 12th, 2012. Oh, is he a Satanist and a scam artist, that Rod Parsley? That's right, folks. The mystery of iniquity and the mystery of stupidity are already at work. Now, let's turn to our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And we want to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And we want to work our way all the way down to verse number 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And here's another thing you ought to bear in mind. When you're reading the New Testament and you're reading books like 2 Thessalonians or 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy or 2 Peter, this is easy to remember. All of the second books, all of the two books, like the aforementioned 2 Peter, 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, all of the number two books will tell you that the main themes of all of those books is end times. That's one of the easiest ways to remember where to find most of the end time stuff, is go to the number two books in the New Testament. That's what I used to tell my students when I was teaching New Testament survey. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Now, we know based on this text, based on what we've heard thus far from our audio Bible reading, we know that Christ cannot come back until two things happen. It's very clear. If you follow it, it's very clear. Paul says Christ cannot come back because two things need to happen. One, there needs to be a falling away. That we have. We are surely in the midst of that. But then he says that the man of sin must appear. And that hasn't happened yet. So one of the two features has been fulfilled. We are in the midst of an ongoing falling away. Yet Satan has not yet appeared. So we're in the middle somewhere. We're in the middle. So Christ cannot come right now. He can't. Why? Because first, the Antichrist needs to come. And look, it's very clear. The Antichrist comes first, and Christ comes after him. So if there's no, you know how they say in church, Christ can come at any moment? No, that's not true. That's not true. See, we need to understand what the Bible is saying. And the Bible is speaking very clearly. First, there must be a falling away. That we can check off the list. But what's still pending? Well, the Antichrist has not yet come. Therefore, Christ cannot come. The Antichrist must come first. He's got to come first. So the falling away mentioned here in these verses really points to this falling away, really speaks about the mystery of stupidity. Because people fall away because they have the wrong information. People fall away because they've been dumbed down. People fall away because they've been hoodwinked. People fall away because they've been deceived. People fall away, they fall away because they've been tricked. They've been tricked. So notice this very verse that talks about the falling away points to the mystery of, and you're asking yourself, why are so many people turning away from Christ? Why? Well, because the Bible tells us that there has to be a falling away. People have to, you know, we read in John 6:66. That's an interesting verse. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66, the Bible says, in fact, let's go there real quick. Let's go to John. Keep your finger there on 2 Thessalonians. But let's go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66. Let's read that. And you'll notice. You'll notice in John 6, 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples, speaking of Jesus, from that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back and walked no more with him. Even in Christ's day, even when Jesus, who is truth incarnate, even when he was preaching and teaching, many turned their backs on him. Many of his students, experienced a falling away. Now, in the next verse, let me finish reading 66. From that time, many of Christ's disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Will you also depart from the faith? Will you also be part of this falling away in my ministry? Jesus poses the question. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, who are we going to go to, saints? We can't fall away. We can't depart from the faith. We can't give heed to seducing spirits. Why? Because Christ is the Son of God. Don't be hoodwinked into believing another gospel. So you can see that in Christ's day, he had disciples, but he started to lose them because they said, you know what, this isn't ecumenical enough, or this isn't tolerant enough, or this isn't merciful enough, or, you know, this is just not for me. I'd love to hear about heaven. I'd love to hear about the wealth, the prosperity, but I don't like this holiness part. I don't like this thing about having to take up a sword. I don't like the fact that Jesus didn't come to bring peace. So many from that day forward went back from him, departed from him, abandoned him, and walked with him no more. So this is what Paul said would happen in the last days. In the last days, Paul said, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, many shall depart from the faith. What is the faith? Everything in the Bible that points to Jesus. Because all of the Bible, all 66 books, point to one person. That's Jesus Christ. So many, if they depart from the faith, they're departing from Christ. who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is the Word incarnate, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to con artist spirits and doctrines of devils. So going back to 2 Thessalonians, going back, and we need to go back there, let's again hear what St. Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica. And let's follow with the Bible in hand. We want to start again at verse 1.
Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Paul tells them, he says in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him. See, Paul is saying Christ is soon to come back, and we shall be joined, we'll be caught up in the air, we'll be joined with Christ, because we're going to participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church is the bride, and Christ is the groom. So he says, listen, there are people out there talking foolishness. They're writing books, they're writing letters, they're writing epistles, they're prophesying. They're saying a lot of things about the coming of the Lord, but let me, as a true apostle of Christ, let me break it down for you, is what Paul is saying. So we want to pick it up in verse 3, where he begins by saying, let no man deceive you. And deception starts when we allow ourselves to be dumbed down. Deception. So let's continue.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
So here are the two qualifiers. And don't believe me, believe Paul. Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, it is impossible for Christ to come until these two things precede him. These two things must come first. These two things must happen first before Christ comes. Let no man deceive you. Let no one in the church reverse the order. What's the order? First. There shall be what? According to verse 3, a falling away. A falling away just like John 6:66. A whole lot of people that once followed Christ, like you and I, are no longer in Christ, are no longer in the faith. They're no longer. There's going to be a falling away. And then the second thing is, the son of perdition must appear. And after the son of perdition appears and has his little program in swing, then the son of man follows. So the son of perdition must come first, then the son of man. And before the son of perdition comes, first must come a falling away. See, it's the falling away, or it's the mystery of stupidity. It's the dumbing down of the nations. It's the dumbing down. And look, folks, when you read the Bible, and you we'll talk about this tomorrow. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. But the way Satan gets over on everybody is by deceiving them. Deceiving them. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. Deceiving them. So here we have it. You must have the falling away first. The falling away is the dumbing down of people, turning them into ignoramuses, having a full-fledged agenda to take sane people and turn them insane, from taking studious people and turning them into morons. The iniquity of stupidity must come first. People must depart from the faith. People, as Paul says here, shall fall away. They shall fall away from the truth. They shall no longer seek the truth. They shall no longer yearn for the truth. That's the falling away. Once that happens, and once the falling away is complete, then the Antichrist shows up. Those two things have to happen first before Christ can come. So all of these people tell you, the Lord can come at any moment. No, 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 no. Back in the 60s, we really couldn't say that Christ was coming, because even in the 60s and 50s, there wasn't really a major falling away. Now we can say, that there is a major falling away. Remember in the 60s when Elvis Presley was banned from the Ed Sullivan Show, and how Ed Sullivan was told by the TV executives that to only show Elvis Presley's face, not to show his gyrating hips? That was in the 60s. And it just gave us an Elvis Presley headshot. And remember the Beatles, how the church was coming against the Beatles because they had long hair? Remember that? Oh, these are hoodlums. The Beatles are hoodlums. And yes, they were hoodlums. That's true. But they based their assessment simply because the Beatles had long hair. Today in the church, you look at preachers, they have long hair, long sideburns. I mean, that's not a criteria. That's not a criteria for saying if someone, if that's the case, Jesus would have been a hoodlum. Samson would have been a hoodlum. Samuel would have been a hoodlum. Those were Nazarites from birth. Not Nazarenes. Not people from Nazareth, but Nazarites. People who had taken religious vows. Samuel had long hair. Like Samson, he too had locks of hair. Our Lord, Jesus, had long hair. But back in the 50s, when everybody was clean cut, clean shaven, you had long hair like Jesus, you were a hoodlum. See, back then, the preachers were crying over nothing. Today, there's a lot to cry about, and you don't hear boo. Today, there's real apostasy, and you don't hear boo. Continue reading. Let's continue reading. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
And there you have it. Because they depart from the truth, because they give in to this heretical teaching, God will send them. For this cause, God shall send them In the text, God is the agent. In the text, God is the cause. It says in verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The mystery of stupidity and the mystery of iniquity, they are both at work. All we need right now is for the son of perdition to show up, and then we know that Christ is at the door. So, saints, let's consider today's broadcast. I said all of what I said now, and we said all of this to bring you to today's theme. And today's theme is about the Roman Catholic Church and how the Roman Catholic Church is aiding and abetting promotion of the mystery of iniquity and the mystery of stupidity. And this is why I encourage you to get the book Jackass Bishops. Because in the book Jackass Bishops, we talk about the five solas. The five solas, and this is going to be relevant. This is going to be quite relevant as we develop this in the next couple of minutes. What are the five solas? Well, the Reformers had five solas, and or in English they're called things that are alone. We Protestants believe in Scripture alone. Scripture alone. Secondly, we believe in Christ alone. You see, let me go back to Scripture alone. The Roman Catholic Church, and this is explained in the book Jackass Bishops by means of diagrams. The Roman Catholic Church would have you sit on a stool, if you will, with three legs. They have one leg, the leg of Scripture. Another leg is the leg of tradition. And by tradition, we mean church tradition or man-made traditions. And then the other leg is the leg of the magisterium. The magisterium is that body of Roman Catholic scholars that decide what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe. And not only do they decide what you're going to believe and what you're not going to believe, they also decide how you're going to believe it. The Watchtower Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they pretty much have their own magisterium. That's why when you look at the little Watchtower magazine, it is a group of people, it is a board of teachers. Then now the Jehovah's Witnesses don't call themselves the magisterium. But it's like the Roman Catholic magisterium in that they're the ones who decide what gets put into that little magazine that gets printed and sent worldwide. It is the magisterium of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It is the magisterium of the Mormons. It is the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church that decides what Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics are going to believe in. Well, we Protestants, we don't have a magisterium. We don't have man-made traditions. We go by one thing alone, and that is Scripture alone. So whereas the Roman Catholic Church has a three-legged stool that would tell you what you believe, we have a one-legged stool, and the one leg is the Bible. The Bible is our sole authority. We don't care what a man has to say. I can care less about what the Pope has to say. The Pope is not my authority. The Archbishop is not my authority. The Bishop is not. That's nonsense. We Protestants believe in one thing, and that is Scripture alone. The second thing that we believe in is in Christ alone. Salvation can only be had in Christ. Salvation is not in Christ plus Mary. Salvation is not in Christ plus Mary plus Peter and Paul plus the saints plus the martyrs plus the holy angels. No. Salvation for us Protestants is in Christ alone. There was only one person on the cross, and that was Jesus. It wasn't Jesus and Mary and Peter and John and the apostles and the martyrs and the holy angels. They were not on the cross. There was only one, the Lamb of God, the singular Lamb, not the flock of God, but the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. So we believe in Scripture alone and then in Christ alone. And then we believe in grace alone. What is grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor. We believe that God has mercy on you and he has mercy on me. And he reaches down to you and I, undeserving sinners. He reaches down and redeems us. I am saved simply because God had mercy on my soul. I'm not saved because I'm special. I'm not saved because I'm worth anything. I'm not saved because I would have been a blessing to the kingdom. I'm not saved because God needed my talents. Are you kidding me? I'm saved by grace alone. I didn't deserve to be saved. I still don't deserve to be saved. But he saved me and he loved me. Not because I was special, but because I was the worst of the worst. It's a mystery. Grace is a mystery. Why God reached down and pulled me out of them? Why? It's a mystery. I'm scratching my head. When I sit down next to you in church, I'm scratching my head as to why God saved you, and you're scratching your head as to why God saved me. Grace is a mystery. So we can't earn our salvation. We can't buy our way into heaven. But the Roman Catholic Church teaches that grace plus indulgences, plus prayers, plus penance, plus keeping the seven sacraments. You see, with them, it's not Christ paid it all. It's this is a partnership. You paid some, and Christ paid some. And we don't believe that. And then after grace alone, we believe in faith alone. All I had to do was believe. Oh, I didn't have to go on a pilgrimage. I didn't have to burn candles. I didn't have to say 10 Hail Marys. I didn't have to say 15 Our Fathers. I am saved by faith alone, faith in the Son of God. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he, like Peter said, where shall we go? You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Only you have words of eternal life. By faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, in Scripture alone. And then finally, we believe to the glory of God alone. To the glory of God. Now, when you look at the Roman Catholic Church, it's not to the glory of God, it's to the glory of the Pope. You look at the Roman, you ever hear the Roman Catholic Church talking about God? They don't talk about God. They talk about the Pope. What does the Pope think? What is the Pope going to say? What is the Pope going to decide? Is the Pope going to remit sins? Is the Pope going to open the doors to St. Peter's Cathedral and give us a year of jubilee? See, it's not to the glory of God alone. Roman Catholics can't wait for that dopey smoke to come out of the chimney there at St. Peter's Square. They can't wait for the white smoke to come out to start clapping, and they start giving a man who shows up on the papal window, they start applauding and crying like if God showed up. They don't know anything about the glory of God. They don't know anything about giving God glory. They give man glory because the Pope is the vicar of God, the vicar of Christ on earth. He's a little God. So we Protestants believe in Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. Those are our five solas. Now, if you remove the first one, Scripture alone, and you add to Scripture, you add man-made traditions, and then you add a governing ruling body like the magisterium, you see, then you have problems. Then you have the mess that we have now in the church. So I want to play a clip because the Roman Catholic Church pretty engaged today. They're very, very engaged in removing the five solas that make a Protestant church a Protestant church. And this is why the book, Jackass Bishops, the book introduces a great many of you to the five solas and explains via diagrams why you cannot be involved with the Roman Catholic Church, because if you are, then you have to accept their man-made traditions, and you know how Jesus blasted man-made traditions. Jesus told the people that man-made traditions make the Word of God futile. They neutralize the Word of God. That's what they do. So the moment you par man-made traditions with the Word of God, man-made traditions take over. Add to that a governing body called the Magisterium, who tells you when to think. When you go to the Roman Catholic Church and you're sitting there in the Mass, they tell you to get up, so you get up. Then they tell you to kneel, then you kneel. It's like Simple Simon said. Remember the childhood game Simple Simon said? Simple Simon said, do this. Simple Simon said, do this. Do this. Remember that game? Well, when you go to a Catholic Mass, and I went to so many when I was a kid, and it was get up, get down, stand up, kneel, do the sign of the cross, go get the holy water. Say this, say that. What is this? Man-made traditions. Who set this up? Who told us when to kneel, when to stand up, when to do the sign? The Magisterium. You can't find any of that in the Bible. Any of it. Now, here's a Roman Catholic stooge who's already died. He's already died. And if he failed to repent, he's in the lake of fire as we speak. His name was Bishop Tony Palmer. And he went to a 2014 Kenneth Copeland Ministries conference. This so-called Bishop Tony Palmer, this Anglican bishop, this stooge of Rome, because that's all he was a stooge of Rome, went to speak to Kenneth Copeland's ministry partners at the ministry conference. And these people who go hear Kenneth Copeland and who are part of his ministry, his ministerial association, they're all quacks anyway. I mean, this whole Word of Faith prosperity group, they're all quacks. They're all Satanists. They're all part of the Illuminati. So here is this so-called Anglican bishop by the name of Tony Palmer appearing at a Kenneth Copeland ministry conference in 2014, and he's coming to them with a message from Pope Francis. And this is a 45-minute clip. I'm not going to play 45 minutes. I'm bringing you into this thing, and we're already 23 minutes into the video. I don't want to play the whole thing. It's not necessary to play the whole thing. But here is this guy telling us why we need to hook up with the Roman Catholic Church. Here's this Anglican bishop who is a Roman Catholic stooge, an emissary of Pope Francis, appearing before this charismatic group, telling them why we should join up with the Roman Catholic Church. Let's listen.
Now, why is it historic? Because in 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. Luther believed that we were saved by grace through faith alone. Amen. But that's not it. The Catholic Church believed that we were saved by works. And that was the protest. In 1999, they wrote this together, because in the Protestant church, there were a lot of cheap salvations. People were getting born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue, because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us to good works.
Now you can hear the Kool-Aid drinkers in the audience applauding. These are all stooges. These are all dopey people. They're all dopey people, because he's talking about grace alone. But it's not just one sola. There are five solas. Five!
This brought an end to the protest of Luther.
It did not. You know how many... You listen, folks. I happen to have in my library a 66-volume work. A 66-volume, massive, voluminous. These volumes are huge. I happen to have a 66-volume work of Luther's writings, his writings. And the Roman Catholic Church did not address anything in those volumes. Because Luther's protest wasn't just the 95 Theses. That was the beginning. Then he wrote 66 volumes. And this little document this dope is talking about does not address anything in those volumes.
Born again, but no fruit whatsoever. And because we didn't even look for fruit, it wasn't the issue, because it wasn't necessary for salvation. And no, it's not. But it's a good judge if you are saved. So what these two churches did, they put the two definitions together. Listen to it. I'm reading verbatim from the Catholic Vatican website. Justification means that Christ himself is our righteousness, in which we share through the Holy Spirit in accord with the will of the Father. Together we, Catholics and Protestants, Lutherans, believe and confess that by grace alone, in faith in Christ's saving works, and not because of any merit on our part, we are accepted by God and receive the Holy Spirit, who renews our hearts while equipping and calling us two good works. This brought an end to the protest of Luther. Brothers and sisters, Luther's protest is over.
No, it's not. It's not over. Luther's it's only starting. I'm not giving it up. My audience isn't giving it up. Other ministers around the globe aren't giving it up.
It's yours. In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement. But as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace, through faith, to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed. There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And I...
Now, he says 15 years because this is 2014. It was signed in 1999. And he says the protest has been... I'm telling you, the devil's been at work for a long, long time. While the church has been at... While the church is asleep, the devil has been at work. Decades at work while the church is still asleep and waking up to the fact that documents have been signed and agreements have been made.
In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement, but as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed. There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And I get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church?
You see what they're doing? They're trying to bring a one world church. So if you remove the protest, there is no Protestant church. They want to bring everybody under one big tent. The tent is called ecumenism. The word ecumenism comes from the Greek word, which means one world. One world. One world religion. A one world religion that will welcome the Antichrist with open arms. Who is leading this? The Roman Catholic Church. It has many agents, like this guy here, Bishop Tony Palmer. Agents into groups like Kenneth Copeland's group. And long before there was an invasion into the black church, already the Roman Catholic Church was invading the white church. And there you have the evidence. And that's why books like the one that we just made available to you, Jackass Bishops, is so important, because it shows you the diagram of the five solas. It tells you why they're important. It shows you the three-legged stool upon which each Roman Catholic believer or member sits on. And it shows you the one-legged stool that the Protestant believer sits on. And the difference. And what will happen to someone who sits on the three-legged stool, and what happens to the person who sits on the one-legged stool. Here's more from this deceased Bishop Tony Palmer.
Maybe we're all Catholics again. But we are reformed. We're Catholic in the universal sense. We are not protesting the doctrine of salvation by the Catholic Church anymore. We now preach the same gospel. We now preach you are saved by grace through faith. Alone, the word alone was the argument for 500 years. The word alone is there. You can read it yourself. The protest is over. The protest is over. So let me pray.
Did you hear that? He says the word alone, but there's five alones. There is scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, by faith alone, to the glory of God alone. There are five alones. He's just talking about one. We're not going to give up by Christ alone. We're not going to believe that we can cry out to Mary and she can intercede for us. We're not going to pray to St. Gabriel. We're not going to pray to the Archangel Michael. We're not going to pray to the martyrs so that they can come to our rescue. No. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, It is the name of the Lord. The name meaning the resume and the person. It is the person of the Lord who is our strong tower. The righteous run to him and are saved. It is not the name of Mary. It is not the name of the martyrs. It is not in the name of the archangels. We believe in Scripture alone, which they don't, in Christ alone, which they don't, by grace alone, and trust me, they don't, by faith alone, which they don't, to the glory of God alone, which they don't. So here is this stooge again, only emphasizing one of the solas. Here it is again. And please, please, this guy is slick or was slick. And he's got these people in the audience drinking the Kool-Aid because they're dopes, because they don't study the word, because they know nothing about church history. They know nothing of the Roman Catholic Church. They know nothing of the end times. Listen closely.
In 1999, this was signed by the Lutheran Church, the Federation Worldwide. Later, about 5 years later, the Worldwide Methodists signed the same agreement, but as of today, we still have had no Protestant evangelical that will stand up and sign this agreement to agree with our brothers and sisters that we are saved by grace through faith to good works. And I believe that's something that needs to be fixed. There's a challenge for you. So the protest has been over for 15 years. And I get a bit cheeky here because I challenge my Protestant pastor friends. If there is no more protest, how can there be a Protestant church? Maybe we're all Catholics again. But we are reformed. We're Catholic in the universal sense. We are not protesting the doctrine of salvation by the Catholic Church anymore. We now preach the same gospel. We now preach you are saved by grace through faith. Alone, the word alone was the argument for 500 years. The word alone is there. You can read it yourself. The protest is over.
Yeah, but it's not by Scripture alone. See, Scripture was left out. Christ alone was left out. And by grace alone was left out, and by faith alone was left out, and to the glory of God. So we're not the same. In fact, if you go to Jackass Bishop's Twitter account, we have here posted a little thing that Pope Francis said. And this was on his Twitter page. This is what Pope Francis put out on his Twitter page. He said, and this was at the start of the new year. At the start of the new year, January 1st, this is what Pope Francis said. Let us entrust, and you can go, I'm reading from our Twitter page, from the Jackass Bishop Twitter page. Pope Francis said January 1st, let us entrust the new year to Mary, Mother of God, so that peace and mercy may grow throughout the world. This is not Christ alone. This is not to the glory of God alone. This is to Mary alone. Mary! We Protestants don't believe in Mary alone. We believe in Christ alone. We turn to Christ every new year, who is not the mother of God, but the Son of God. So that peace and mercy, why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. Pope Francis is promoting Mariolatry, the idol worship of Mary. This is why we Protestants and Catholics, I'm not going under the same tent with them. The Pope is telling people in the new year not to trust in Jesus, not to give their lives over. No, to trust in Mary, the mother of God. God doesn't have a mother. So that peace and mercy, are you out of your mind? But that's Pope Francis. And this stooge, well, he was a stooge. He's 6 feet under. He wants us to turn to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, well, why doesn't the Catholic Church become Protestant? Why is it that the Protestant Church has to become Catholic? Why is it that we have to give up our identity, but they don't have to give up theirs? Oh. If we were right, if they believe in grace alone like they're claiming that they do, then if we had that truth, why don't they give up the name Catholic, Roman Catholic? Why don't they become part of the Protestant Church? Oh, no, no, no. See, because we got to go over to them. They had it wrong all these years, but we got to go over to them. They finally agreed that we had it right, but we have to give up the name Protestant, and we have to take up the name Catholic. Here's more from Tony Palmer.
The protest is over. So let me pray, and then we'll start the video. I believe we will begin to see more and more people called out to go into the world and work among the churches in the spirit of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Ministries of reconciliation. We need to throw as much resources and energy into the ministry of reconciliation as we do to the ministry of evangelization. Or are we building walls without foundations? I challenge you to find a bridge builder and back him or her. And I'd like to pray this prayer. And if you agree, you can say amen. This is a dying man's prayer. And when you know you're about to die, you certainly pray the most important prayers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. Glory to the Father. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, excuse me, because I speak in Italian, but I am not speaking English. But I will speak no Italian, no English, but hardly. È una lingua più semplice e più autentica. E questa lingua del cuore ha un linguaggio.
That's the Pope selling his Kool-Aid. They have him on video, and he's trying to tell them how they should all come back to the Mother Church and how they're going to be embraced and how they're going to be loved and we're all going to be reconciled and we're all going to cry by the campfire and we're all going to sing Kumbaya. Saints, get the book Jackass Bishops. And by the way, there's another 11 books coming out. bishops is only the beginning. It only shows you one facet. There is so much to say about the Roman Catholic invasion into the Protestant church. Get the book. Go to the website. Go to paganbishops.com. Order your PDF copy. Order your electronic copy of the book, Jackass Bishops. Do so today. Get empowered. Learn about the five solas. Learn about sola scriptura, solo Christos. Learn about by grace alone, by faith alone, by and for the glory of God alone. Learn about the three-legged stool of the Roman Catholic Church, the magisterium, traditions, and scripture. Learn how the magisterium and traditions swallow up scripture and make it non-relevant. Learn. Get the book. Go to paganbishops.com. You can purchase your copy. You can, when you make the donation of $15, it will be sent to you via email, and you are going to be blessed. You are going to be enlightened. You are going to be empowered with truth. In addition, let me say that this coming Friday, I'm going to be joined by my sister Marie, and we're going to have a wonderful program. There's much to talk about. There's much news. We want to share with you about what's going on, how it affects the end times. And in addition to that, we're going to be opening up the phone lines and receiving phone calls on your observations and your take and your input. And perhaps maybe you have questions about how all of this is going to play out. So tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. to this broadcast, and you're going to be blessed. God bless you. Love you in Jesus. I'll be back tomorrow with more on the subject of the mystery of stupidity. God bless you.